Welcome to The Liberated Life, the podcast for women who are done pretending that they have it all figured out and are ready to live with more freedom, clarity, and courage. I'm Lucy Maeve, your guide on a journey through the unspoken parts of healing, desire, and self-discovery. This is a place to be seen, heard, and held, where we embrace all the complexities and contradictions of being fully alive. No masks, no shortcuts, just the real work and real liberation. Hello, my darlings. We're back for another ache episode. So as a reminder, this is when you guys write in to me with something that's going on in your life and I respond in podcast form. So our ache today is from a 36-year-old woman who is single. And she sent me this note. I don't know who she is because it was sent anonymously, but she sent me this note that says, I have a really full life. I have a great career. I have friends who love me. I travel a lot. I exercise. I've gone to therapy. And a lot of the time I feel like I've built a life that I'm proud of. But sometimes there's this sense of loneliness that won't shift. It's not constant. It doesn't stop me functioning, but it is there. Often it shows up in the evenings or on Sundays or in those periods where there's something that I want to share and it doesn't feel like there's anyone to turn to. I keep telling myself that I should be grateful, that other people have it worse than me, that I'm lucky, and I feel ashamed for wanting more. Okay. So, my sweet love, first of all, I really just want to acknowledge this experience that you're in. Like, I think a lot of the time, I remember when I was single, it created this period for me where it was quite confusing because it felt like I had this really wonderful life that a lot of people saw as very impressive. And simultaneously, I felt like there was this hidden part of me that was always aching. And I think one thing that is really important to name here is the complexity of the human experience. I think a lot of us can have this idea that we should only feel one way about any circumstance in life. Like in any moment in time, we should only be feeling one thing. And I just want to normalize feeling multiple things at once. Like it is totally valid to feel both grateful for the life that you have and lonely or sad or ashamed. Those two things can exist simultaneously. We live in a world that likes to go off this idea of having the mono mind. The mono mind is this idea where we just have like one personality that's just like very simple and we do this, we do that, we feel this, we don't feel that. But the truth is we're made up of multiple different parts. I often talk to clients about the Inside Out characters. If you've ever watched Inside Out, like the idea that we have all of these different little versions of us that show up that often feel really conflicting things. And our tendency, until we start to understand these different aspects of ourselves, is to ignore or kind of push down the part of us that feels bad and focus on the part of us that feels good. So this is this piece of like, I feel bad for feeling like I want more. It's like, I don't want to feel this part of me that feels lonely. I don't want to feel this part of me that longs for connection. So I'm just going to focus on the fact that actually I'm really lucky. It's like toxic positivity, you know? I think so many of us have been brought up with certain elements of toxic positivity, of needing to be grateful for things. And the whole gratitude world has also done this. Gratitude practices are very powerful, but not as a way of like bypassing our human experience. So I just want to validate, first of all, that experience of feeling like certain aspects of your life are going really, really well. And there's a part of you that is aching and that both can coexist. There's nothing wrong with you for feeling that way. Now, I think something else that's really important to name here is, as I mean, I don't actually know how many of you know this, but I was single for a very long time. So I was single for like the majority of my 20s. I met Thomas when I was 33. And I spent a lot of Sunday evenings on my own. I spent a lot of holidays on my own. I used to go away a lot alone. I went to a lot of weddings. It was like the single girl that was put on the single table, and like someone would hope that I would get set up with someone. So I've really lived this. Granted, I haven't lived it in my late 30s, and I recognize that there is a different experience there. But I have lived the experience of being single for quite a long time. And I think that one thing that is quite important to name when you're in this experience is the complex grief that can show up when we desire something that we don't really have a huge amount of control over to a certain degree, and it's not showing up. So this grief isn't like the grief of having lost something, because it's not necessarily, I mean, I don't know, maybe you have gone through a breakup, but it's not necessarily that we're grieving like the loss of a relationship or the loss of a person necessarily, but it's a grief for an imagined future. Like, it's a grief of a version of us that we thought would appear, or like a life rhythm that hasn't arrived, or a specific timeline that hasn't shown up. And that grief can be really painful and also quite misunderstood. But I think it's quite important to acknowledge, because for a very long time, there was a version of me that was clinging on to this idea that I would meet my person when I was like 23. And this version of me like still existed when I was in my early 30s. It was like I was still grieving this idea that I would be the woman that like met her partner at uni and like had all of my 20s with them and went traveling around the world and like had loads of time before having to think about bigger life decisions together. And I think it's really, really important and valid to just acknowledge that, like to acknowledge that we can be grieving a future that hasn't shown up for us. And it can also feel quite complex because there's not necessarily an end point to this. Like when we're single and we're hoping to meet a partner, I remember people saying to me like, oh, like live like you're going to meet the person tomorrow. And it's like, yeah, cool. But you don't have any certainty of that. So you're kind of in this prolonged experience of like, of grieving, really, whilst also being asked to hold the pose, if you want a partnership, hold the pose of potentially meeting someone. And those two very different human experiences can feel quite confusing. But I just want to really acknowledge this experience of complex grief that so many of us hold when we are aching for something that hasn't shown up. This exists a lot for, I mean, I imagine, I again have not had the lived experience of this, of like the desire for children. And I know a lot of single women have this, like this desire to become a mother, and potentially grieving the idea of being a mother at X age. I think grief is very misunderstood at times, that we think it only happens through like death of someone. But there's a death of a lot of different things. You know, there's a death of timelines, there's a death of versions of ourselves, there's a death of set periods of life. And it's okay to be grieving that. Now, the piece I think is really interesting that I want to touch on, and I've been actually thinking about this a lot recently, this idea of loneliness. So I would say for quite a long period of my life when I was single, I felt deeply lonely. Like I really felt like what would solve my loneliness would be if I had a partner. Like if I had someone to talk to about stuff, if they were like there all the time, if I wasn't on my own every Sunday night, I thought that would be what would solve the thing. I also thought that like spending my time with loads of friends all the time would solve the thing. I was very attached to the idea that loneliness was a representation of being alone, aka like being not in community, not with other people. Now, I no longer believe that to be true. There is complexity here because we are a tribal species. We are a mammal. We do need other people around us. Like, it's not good for humans to be in isolation. But I think there is a deeper existential and spiritual piece here, which I am very interested in. So on the premise that I'm assuming from what you shared, because you said you had friends, you are not like totally isolated, living completely alone and never seeing anyone. So there is connection, like there is like other nervous systems around you that you're co-regulating with to a certain degree. I want to touch more on the existential piece here. Now, loneliness, So I said there was a period of my life where I felt very, very deeply lonely when I was single. And I thought that I had to just have people around me to make me feel less lonely. But then I noticed that sometimes I was around people and I still felt lonely. Like, I had partners at points. I mean, very short-term situationship partners. But I still felt lonely. So I was like, wait a second, this can't actually be about other people necessarily. And I feel very proud of myself here because in truth, I kind of figured this out for myself in my own body. And then I recognize that Carl Jung has talked about this idea that loneliness isn't about being alone, but it's about being unable to communicate what is most alive inside of you. So it's almost like I experience it in my own system. It's like there's a part of us inside that's aching for a certain degree, to a certain degree. So there's part of us that's aching, that's really wanting to be heard, wanting to be seen, wanting to be witnessed. And oftentimes we ignore that part of us inside. So we just like pretend it's not there, don't go into it, be positive all the time, toxic positivity vibes, like just ignore it. But there's a part of us that's aching. And if we go back to the idea of there being all these different aspects of us, like the little inside out characters, it's literally like having a little girl inside of you that's like screaming and wanting you to hear her and you're ignoring her. So I often think that the loneliness is actually not, it's not just like you feel lonely. It's like a part of you inside is not feeling heard. And there is a question here around, are you hearing yourself? Like, are you in relationship with the parts of you that are aching? Like, are you giving them space? Are you giving space to these aspects in yourself that are like really wanting your attention and wanting love often? And this kind of flips into what I was sharing earlier about this period of my life when I was single and I felt super lonely, because then when I started doing this work and started to become more individuated to a certain degree, more sovereign, like more aware of what was going on inside of me and less outsourcing to other people. I'm not going to say that I'm in any way enlightened, but like had started on that journey. I started to feel less lonely. And in part, I started to feel less lonely because I was in relationship with the parts of me that were aching. So they didn't feel alone. And layered on top of that, the more I understood these aspects inside of me, the more I could then communicate those aspects to other people. Like, there is nothing lonelier than when you're sitting. And I remember this so many times, like when I'd gone through breakups and things when I was much younger, and I'd feel terrible inside. I had no idea how to communicate that. Zero idea. I just knew that I felt, my body felt very bad. And I'd sit with friends and they'd be trying to support me and being like, oh, there are loads more fish in the sea, or like go back on the apps or whatever. And I felt so lonely, so lonely. I was like, this doesn't make sense because I'm like around people and people say that being around people is helpful. Not when you can't communicate what is actually true inside of yourself. So what I would say with this is actually there's a real beauty here in starting to connect to this part of you that's feeling lonely and to initially acknowledge that in yourself of like, oh, wow, I feel really lonely. That there's this part of me that feels really alone. Maybe it's a younger part of you. Maybe it's an adult part of you. But to be just recognized as a part of me that feels really alone right now and is really desiring connection. And maybe it's desiring connection from you, which can look like you just acknowledging its presence in the first place. Can't tell you how many times I've been working with clients one-on-one and we connect to a part of them and that's feeling a certain way. And even just by us connecting to it, like noticing it, focusing our attention on that part of the body or that sensation, they soften. So it's like, oh my God, I'm being seen finally. So that is the first piece. And the second piece is to learn to share that with others. So often, very independent, very successful women have built an armor of being okay and have built an armor of, like, not necessarily full perfectionism, but just like this veneer of having their shit together, which means that opening up the communication lines between some of the more vulnerable parts and the world can feel very threatening. But it is also so deeply healing. So the first stage, I would say, of working with this is actually starting to acknowledge this loneliness without trying to make it your way. And to get really curious about it. Like, what would this loneliness need? What does it want from me? Like, is it wanting me to reach out to someone? Is it wanting love from me? Is it wanting to be acknowledged? Is it wanting me to slow down and to hear it? Is it wanting to, like, write a letter to me? Sometimes you can do that. You can connect to the part of you that's feeling a certain way and just get them to write you a letter. Like, almost like channel the letter from that aspect inside of your body. And the next piece, once you have done your inner connection with this part, is to see if there are safe relationships in your life where you can start to open up about this loneliness. If we go off the premise of loneliness isn't about being alone, it's about being unable to communicate what's most alive inside of you. The salve to this is self-inquiry, aka understanding what is going on inside of you, and then communicating it, both with yourself and with the people around you. And you know what's so magical about this? Like, the more that I started to step into this stuff when I was single, with my female friends, with male friends, with my community, the less lonely I felt. And I had a very long period of being single where I honestly was like, I feel great. I don't feel lonely at all. I feel like really connected to myself, to the people around me. I'm listening to myself. I'm doing things to honor myself. I'm surrounding myself with people who feel really nourishing. I didn't feel lonely. The situation hadn't changed, but the way that I was relating to it and relating to myself had. And the other magical piece about this is the more that we practice this and the more that we stretch into this whilst we're single, and for those of you who are in relationships, you can obviously do it in relationships too, is that we're training ourselves to actually communicate in an intimate way. So this skill of being able to understand what's most alive inside of you and to actually communicate it will deepen every relationship you ever go into. Like, there's such a magical opportunity of being single for a long time because you can really work on this stuff outside of relationship. And then when you move into a relationship, it's so much easier to stretch into good communication. I remember when I first met Thomas and we, like, had been dating for probably like 3 months at this point. Bear in mind, I'd have like no long-term relationships. I'd never got further than like 8 months with anyone. And he'd been in a lot of relationships. We have like polar opposite relational histories. He said to me, he's like, you're like very good at communicating in relationships, bearing in mind you haven't been in a long-term relationship. And I was like, yeah, I trained with my friends. I trained first with myself and then I trained with my friends. And I'm not going to say I'm perfect at it, but this work is so powerful. So, so powerful, and has the potential to completely transform so many of the relationships with you're in. So yeah, that is what I will share. I am honoring you in your success, in your magic, in your full life, and also in your loneliness, and honoring the vulnerability of that loneliness. And yeah, kind of suggesting an invitation to go inward and to honor that part of you that's feeling lonely, see what it needs, and see if you can stretch into sharing some of the aspects of that loneliness with people around you. Get yourself into supportive group spaces. Cannot tell you how helpful that can be to be in a group of women who get it. So that is that. for now, my darling one. Have a beautiful rest of your day, and I'll speak with you soon. Respond to that. I really, really felt that deep in my heart. If this has resonated with you at all and you're like, oh God, this is me, I'm actually launching a group program for women who are professionally absolutely nailing it and relationally maybe a little bit more challenged. If you want some details about it, all of the details will be coming out in January. But if you want to get on the wait list to get early bird pricing and get all the details first, just DM me the word group and I will send you the details.